Hey, Kim here. Quick update before you dive into this episode. We've changed the name of our podcast to Rooted in Tomorrow. It's a nod to our shared history and the bright future of our cooperative system. So if you get later in the series to our 22nd episode, you'll notice the change. But most importantly, it won't affect you as a listener or a subscriber. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. Table. It, in many cases, is the family gathering space where you all wish for health and happiness for yourselves and for each other. Connection to your family often happens during the conversation over a home-cooked meal. Connection to the food you eat? Well, that's where we come in. In 2021, our cooperative will celebrate 100 years from the humble beginnings of the 320 dairy farmers who came together. Today, we are more than 3,500 members strong. Yep, they own us. And it's them and their families that bring us much of the food we eat. From the fields to the food market, we also have a lot to be thankful for. Today, a greatest hits of sorts. The holiday roundup of some of the best moments and meaningful conversations from our podcast thus far. First up, a trip to Gray Summit, Missouri at the Purina Animal Nutrition Center.
So my name is Dr. Cindy Lumen, and I'm the Vice President of Technical Innovation for Land O'Lakes Feed, which includes Purina. And we are the home to the innovation and the research that we do with animals on site. We have about 350 dairy cows. We have about 160 beef cows. We have 200 sows. We have about 80 horses. We have a whole bunch of chickens, goats and sheep, bees, rabbits, deer, game fish, game birds, all kinds of animals here. And this is the site where we do the research.
Whoa!
Sick, sick, sick.
That's Gerald Maupin, manager of the beef cattle department. Among his skills, his unique way to bring the cows home.
How I grew up calling cows. It's kind of like calling your dog or whatever you call. Call the same way every time, and if you feed them or reward them for coming, then they're going to come, you know.
In many ways, it's not unlike your family farm. Take the dairy research team, for example. You can hear the hum of fans keeping the cows cool in the dairy barn. Cows are milked 3 times a day. But here's the key difference. They gather about 302 million points of data every single month to use and study how changes in nutrition might affect a cow's health, production, or effect on the environment.
I'm Dave Hoogmoed, and I'm Executive Vice President of Land O'Lakes and the President. I lead the Purina Feed Division.
It's a big year for Purina, celebrating its 125th anniversary. And Dave Hoogmoed has been here for 40 of those years.
The primary role I have beyond that, though, is I am a gatekeeper. I like to be, I'm a part of the team that measures where are we going? How far is this idea going to go? And how do we commercialize it then? I am, other than the operating staff led by Dr. Cindy Lumen and all the PhDs, I'm a primary sponsor and owner of where we go here. Yeah, the farm serves a couple purposes here. Of course, one of them is research. I'll come back to that. The other is right where we're sitting, we bring several thousand customers, prospects, dealers, co-ops, business opportunities a year here for different degrees of a tour and presentations in the conference center. So that's great. It's a marketing tool, a selling tool. The research piece, though, this is incredible. It really is the biggest and best in the U.S., at least, I'll say, in our industry. It has a good mix of basic research, metabolism work and microbiome and other things, laboratory work, with a good mix of all the live animals on site to do the application and the practical work to see it work and prove your stuff. We tend to be, sometimes to a fault, science-based. in that we really want replicable work. When we say something works, it needs to work. And so this place gives us that capability.
As one of our four business units at Land O'Lakes, Purina is just wrapping up its 125th year, and it continues to be a leader in animal nutrition. For the next century, our focus on technology and feeding animals, cultivating acres, and providing food for a growing population will be key. Which brings us to a conversation with Land O'Lakes Chief Technology Officer Teddy Bichelli. This one's from episode 4 of the first season. Data can be confusing and hard to understand. Can you help us kind of in when you're asked what you do and what Land O'Lakes brings to the table? Can you give me just kind of a primer?
Absolutely. So, data can be confusing. It could be tricky. It's messy sometimes and has to be cleansed in order to be able to make sense of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw, actually, the power of what Land O'Lakes had to offer through what some of the businesses like Winfield United were doing. So the AnswerPlot data is about 20 years worth of data where they've captured all the different seed varieties that were planted on or sold in throughout the United States, different crop protection applications, different farming practices, and they're able to bring that data in very curated in a way that could be easily consumed. And so all we had to do from a technology standpoint was put that in a tool and associate that with satellite imagery. So now you could go to a specific farmer and say, let's look at your field and look at how the field has performed over the years. And we could use satellite imagery to do that. And we can find areas that are do better than other areas. And we can decide now whether we want to put more dense seed in one area versus another. And let's look at our AnswerPlot data and what seeds perform best in your soil type or in your environment. And now we can make that decision together. So that's the conversation the farmer and the agronomist would have on a given year. But then from there, we've expanded that portfolio to use satellite imagery throughout the season. So as the crop's growing out of the ground, we can get an image every couple of days, and now we can start to see if there's issues occurring on a specific field. And in those areas where we have issues or the areas that are doing really well, we go and take a tissue sample, and essentially we go out, use a phone app, take a piece of the leaf, put it in a bag. It's geospatially located, so
tissue
we know.
Tissue sample, right? I always stumble on that.
Right. It's a leaf sample. It would be the better way to say it. Yeah, so that's exactly right. And then that sample goes back to a lab, and within 48 hours, we get back the macro and micronutrients of that plant at that given time.
Okay.
That also gives more insight to the agronomist now to make a recommendation to the farmer. But in the last year and a half or so, I think we've taken it to the next level with some of the advanced technology. Mm-hmm. So now we're using things like crop models, where we actually do take the base plant and how it performs over the years, but then inject things like satellite imagery, inject things like the tissue sample that came off the field. And what we could do is create a model and predictively tell you now where the crop might be going.
Wow.
So where's your end result now versus 180 bushels of corn? If you do the right things, you might be able to get to 200. And now we're looking a little bit more into the future. So now we are using machine learning and some of these advanced analytics to be able to now help predict where things are going to be. So now you can make a more informed decision, both sustainably for the environment as well as economically for the farmer.
So would you say we're a technology company?
I think we're getting close to be a technology-driven company. At the end of the day, I would say we want to be like a data-driven insights company, right? So based off the data we collect, based off good data, both ours in our research plots or our different centers, but then put that together with our members' data, that gives us a good wealth of data that we could use to be able to make at least aggregate and get good decisions out of it.
Right.
But that drives to some, like I said, hidden insights or some aggregate insights that we may not have realized before, and that drives us now to better outcomes. So we're definitely going down that data-driven insights company leveraging technology.
Everybody is hopping on technology. Everybody says they're bringing e-business solutions. It's confusing. It's confusing for me. I'm sure it's confusing for a consumer and a customer. What makes Land O'Lakes offering different?
So I get that, the whole confusing and difficult. I think I get that question every day, right? That question, it's like a rhetorical question, like, is this easy to use,
yeah,
right? And
right,
really the statement is there, whatever you're doing, make it easy for me to adopt this technology or to leverage this technology. So
right,
we're constantly trying to figure out ways of how we can take all these insights that we have and how we can take these complex algorithms and really simplify them so folks can use them on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm, right? So one of the things, for example, you mentioned e-business, and I'm glad you mentioned
yeah,
e-business, because a lot of times we would, you know, maybe jump to the conclusion we need an e-commerce site. And a lot of times, right, e-commerce to me is, you know, you go on a website somewhere, you select the product you want, you put it in a cart, you pay for it, and then you check out.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the approach we want to take, because that would not be data-driven.
Right.
So really for us, when we talk about e-business and really more of that omni-channel feel, we want to leverage the expert seller model that we have. So our agronomists out in the field, our nutritionists out in the field, there's a, you know, they have great amount of knowledge. And how do we tap into that knowledge,
right,
bring it through into the system, and then enable a digital connection?
The work and innovation we do at Land O'Lakes is farmer-led and farmer-driven. The voices getting us to the future are the ones who have an intimate understanding of farming. Take, for example, Pete Kappelman, who took over as Senior Vice President of Member and Government Relations. Not only was Pete chairman of the board at Land O'Lakes, but he's a lifelong Wisconsin dairy farmer. Like our a lot of our member owners, you're a fourth generation farmer, and your grandfather bought the land in 1891 in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. What got you into farming? What keeps you in it? Tell me a little bit about your day to day and your operation.
Well, I graduated from the University of Wisconsin Madison, got a degree in dairy science and a specialization in ag economics, and I really, as much as the thought of maybe graduate school or something was appealing to me because I enjoyed learning, I do enjoy learning, but it was really the call of the land and the farm. And my father calling, saying, hey, we want you guys to come back. And, yeah, and so, but I find farming very rewarding. And in a lot of ways, it's fascinating. I mean, that you can put one seed in the ground, and along with the right nutrients and the right care package, and then let the sun and the rain do their work. And you get more than 100-fold return on that.
Yeah.
Investment. And so it really, in watching a new calf being born or something like that, it is very fascinating. I think more than anything, that the thing farmers don't do is they don't think of themselves as providing this noble service to our
yeah,
country.
Yeah.
And I think that's it, and it really is. I know I looked up George Washington had a quote that said, agriculture is the most healthful, most useful, and most noble employment of man. Hmm. Now, that was 250 years
still
ago.
Still true today. We have a cooperative model, and we're co-op proud. We have 4,000 members, half of whom are dairy farmers, half of whom are retail owners. Talk to me about that model. Why is that beneficial, do you think, or powerful for you and for our members?
Well, first of all, none of us is as smart as all of us, right? So there's the benefit of working together, because we can accomplish more together than individual we ever could. But we have a very unique opportunity in agriculture. We have, with our cooperative system, the producers, the local co-ops, our manufacturing, our processing, our marketing, we have shared ownership and governance of an industry that is essential to the existence of humankind. And farmers don't think about it that way. And right now, it's like 98.5%, let's just round it up to 99% of America trusts the 1% or 1.5% that's producing food. to produce that food for them.
Yep.
And sometimes we don't always feel that trust because we feel like we're under a microscope. We have to justify everything we do, and we should be explaining what we do.
Yeah.
But we're so confident that what we're doing is the right thing that that's all we should have to do is explain and talk to consumers about what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it.
What would you say, Pete, to a younger farmer kind of looking to get more involved?
I would say not only, I'd like to refer back to my statement about how cooperatives in agriculture, cooperatives have the ability to influence and in some ways control the outcome, how the story is told and how people, we can't control how people receive it, but we can control the messages being sent. And I think it's really valuable for people to see the opportunity, and I might even expand the word opportunity to obligation to engage and participate and learn and grow and lead, because all the leaders we have in the cooperative system now are getting a year older every year. So and we absolutely need millennials telling the story to other millennials. And so it is critical, and people will be hesitant and say, well, I'm not as experienced, or I'm not as, and that doesn't matter, because that's how you get the experience.
There is strength in the cooperative model, and not just when it comes to our dairy business. Butter, of course, is from our farmer members as well as our other dairy products, but there's a whole other component to who we're accountable to. Not shareholders, at least in the traditional corporate sense. Our crop protection business, Winfield United, touches about half of the harvested acres in the country. Its president, Brett Brueggemann, thinks a little differently than a company executive just worried about a bottom line. So part of your story is being part of the Land O'Lakes cooperative. And you and I have talked, and I've heard you say reverse ownership. So the cooperative is farmer-owned on one side with our 2,000 dairy farmers, and then really has a reverse ownership model with locals. Can you just talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, it's a great piece. And in reverse ownership, if I had to do one statement, instead of us owning retail, retail owns us. And it's unique, and it's a model that's 100 years old. And during times like this, when economic times are tough or when times are good, this model is probably the most predictable market access model that there is in the market. Yet it's sometimes the best kept secret. And there are pros and cons to a reverse ownership model. But as you said, we have over 1,000 what we call locally owned and operated retailers. Mm-hmm. And they're really entrepreneurs is who they are. These retailers, when I talk about the level of commitment, these retailers are committed to their communities, first of all. If you looked at the communities in rural America today and you associated that with the locally owned and operated businesses, in a lot of instances, they're correlated together.
Yeah.
They hire a lot of the same people, but also most importantly, the profits they make go right back into those communities. Mm-hmm. The other profile piece of this, when you talk about the local owned and operated, is their commitment to the business. They're ones that are usually, I say, put the key in the door an hour before the sun rises.
Wow.
And usually take the key and lock the business an hour after the sun sets. They're just committed to the business, and they're committed now to ag in a way that is probably much above the norm. So not only do you have the work ethic, they're entrepreneurs, they're also very good at what they do from an agronomic leadership standpoint. And that's really been the secret to our model.
You put a seed in the ground, it rains, it grows. In your backyard flower pots, it may be that easy. But when you're a farmer dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of crops, there's little room for error, especially when you can't control the weather. Rather than just smart advice, the solutions to grow healthier crops need to be proven with science, data, and tested on our more than 4,000 acres of answer plots around the country. We did it. We're doing it. And as a cooperative, our members hold our feet to the fire to make sure we get it right. We're advocates for farmers and their families at all levels, in communities, local, state, and federal governments. It's been a part of our work since the very beginning. Part of it is helping members advocate on their behalf. In our very first episode, we talked with our CEO, Beth Ford, and Vice President of Government Relations, Autumn Price.
One of the things that we discussed was building a relationship. What's terrific is when we do that, when there are questions from a senator. I've received a number of calls from senators or from, you know, we have a congressman who might call up Autumn or call up me to ask what we think about a particular policy or how they might think about something. That's important. We also have our teams in D.C. in regulatory agencies, including our quality team, our regulatory team, helping shape the regulatory environment. Yep. So it's not a one-touch thing. We flew in. We had a good conversation. We had a chat. Yeah. No. This is multiple touch points. Needs to include our members. Absolutely must include our members. So I think of this as so critical because, again, it's about right to operate and trying to get a view. I always, when I'm out with the members, they ask, what do we think is next? And we talk about what we're hearing. And then the other thing I talk about is making sure that they're paying attention in social media and other areas and responding or advocating for what is true about farm practices or ag practices that may be misunderstood by the general population.
All this work is impossible if it's not sustainable and not harmful to the environment. If you're not protecting the land, then the land, a farmer's livelihood, food production, it all has a shelf life. So there's a lot at stake, which is why Land O'Lakes Sustain, now known as Truterra, focuses on just that, sustainable and profitable solutions for farmers. Matt Karstens, the leader of the business, sat down with me earlier this year. It created some interesting moments. Talk to me about CalBio and what we did there.
Well, CalBio is an absolute wonderful example of partnerships. And what we've done there, and we like to say barn to biogas, that we're really taking the journey from barn to biogas, which is nice. Really taking the manure of our cows and converting it into a gas that mm-hmm. we can pipe in our California market down to LA mm-hmm. and fuel different mass transit forms of transportation and other energy sources that we can use through compressed natural gas. So mm-hmm. we're taking what has been a nuisance or yeah. waste of the farm and turning it into something that actually has revenue and value that really is think of circular economy and how we then take yeah. it all the way to Los Angeles. Who would thought we'd talk Amazing. About cow manure in Los Angeles?
I know. But that's and really all I what's can happening. Think is poop to pipeline. I know.
I'm not against poop
far,
to pipeline.
A little too far.
We say barn to biogas, but poop to
to
pipe is good too. So we'll take any way people want to talk about it. But well, it really is a great example of what's possible yeah. on farm.
Now, sustainability is for sure a buzzword, a hot topic. How would you say Land O'Lakes Sustain is talking about it?
Well, first, I think you're right. It is a hot topic, and it's important to probably note here, Kim, that for the listeners, that sustainability is what it is, but it is an opportunity. Yeah. I see this as absolutely a great opportunity for our cooperative network to really look at things differently.
Yeah.
Look at it from how we balance economics in the environment. And that's really never been done before. And we talk about it a lot. But now, as we'll get into, I'm sure, there's mm-hmm. there's innovation and technologies around how we do that and make this come to life. So mm-hmm. today, I look at this as nothing more than a great opportunity if we can kind of relax the buzzword of sustainability and
right.
find the opportunity that exists throughout ag and food through that whole value chain.
This season, we're tackling issues we care about as a company. Connecting our neighbors and farmers with rural broadband and why that's essential for quality of life. Improving mental health on the farm during tough times. Growing food in more extreme climates. But of course, none of the work is possible without our farmer members. Our annual meeting, a tradition for 98 years, is a chance for those members to connect, learn what's new at Land O'Lakes, and make sure their voices are heard about the direction of the business. There, we sat down with the ones who produce our food and bring it all home, our co-op soul.
So I am Chris Sikalski. I'm a partner with my brother, and we have a dairy farm. My grandparents sold milk to Land O'Lakes, so, you know, it's in my blood.
My name is Katie Daughter Erpile, and I am from Union Bridge, Maryland, and I'm a dairy farmer. We are in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Sorry, I love the accent here.
I am Sadie Frericks. I am a dairy farmer from Melrose, Minnesota. Being part of this cooperative has helped me be a better member of our community, and so it's done something greater for our community. I am a strong believer in the cooperative system, in that cooperatives give members a voice in the direction of the business and believe in the betterment of all members. So we are not returning profits to shareholders or investors. We are returning profits to members. And in that quest for returning profits to members come a lot of things like bettering the businesses and bettering the lives of members in everything that we do, from our crops to our cows to our communities and our well-being and the quality of our lives.
To be a member owner of Land O'Lakes, we get to make decisions, right? We get to also have some input on some things, and I think the coolest part for me, in my opinion, is it's brand recognition. You know, when we give a tour, or even if I'm out public speaking somewhere and people are like, okay, well, where does your milk go? And I say Land O'Lakes, people automatically know what that is. They're like, oh, the butter people. I'm like, well, yeah, but like, you know, it's more than butter.
It's that time when we get to say, hey, see you next year. Fortunately, it's only a few weeks away. Something Greater is back with a new episode in January. It's about the work we're doing in developing agriculture around the globe and why that's good for all farmers. In the meantime, let us know if you like what you hear. Give us a rating and comment wherever you listen. Also, if you're a member, don't forget, each episode is delivered monthly through Member Connections. It's also available on LandO'LakesInc.com when you click on Members at the top right.